Okay, so we've been looking at some various different topics, really, just over the last few weeks on how our lives as Christians are sort of impacted as we follow Jesus and life in general. And this week we're going to be considering how we listen. Just one aspect of that. And if you'd like to, I try and base these roughly around some kind of passage of scripture, so you know that I'm not just talking off the top of my head. But we will reach Mark chapter 4 eventually. Again, we were there last week. We'll look at that again. So if you want to find that, you can do. But how good at listening are you? Are you a good listener? Is a question I have for you. I'm trained to listen to music. So when I was at university, and before that, actually, the whole of from the age of about 8, one way or another, I've been trained to listen. And so I hear differences in pitch, and I hear differences in timbre, and I hear differences in the balance of an ensemble when they're playing, or the mix of a recording when it's being played, or I hear the subtle changes in a rhythm and how when you're... People talk about a groove. Do you know what a groove is? It's not just getting the rhythm right, but it's actually how it feels and when you're playing together and it just sits. It's called in the pocket. That's we use it. In the pocket. It's in the pocket. And you will probably think, yeah, that sounds good, but I can tell you why it sounds good, when it sounds good, because I just know that, because I've been trained in that, okay? And, there are minute differences in things that you won't notice, that I notice. And I'm not boasting, I'm just telling you this is how I'm trained. And you will say, oh, yeah, I like the sound of that, but I'm trained to tell you why. And just as a beautiful example of this, and this is completely tuba nerdy, so just you can switch off if you want. But the last recording I did with Kairos Ensemble, we're in a studio, brilliant studio, never been in one like it. And I had to do a solo, so we recorded the main track and then I had to record a solo over the top of it. And for the solo, I needed to play higher, so I changed my mouthpiece to a slightly smaller mouthpiece, which is a little bit naughty, but I did it anyway. Now I can hear the difference with this mouthpiece. You probably can't. In fact, I've played it to musicians. I said, what do you think about this? What do you think? And they sounds like a tuba. Okay. I put this mouthpiece in and started playing the solo. The recording engineer stopped the recording and said, hang on, something's changed. Right. No. Because oftentimes the mic gets moved when you then listen back, it just sounds like something's changed and you can hear it. And I said, no, mic's still, and check the mic. And I said, change mouthpiece. Yep, that's it. I said, put the other one back in. And he heard this subtle difference because he was trained to listen, and that's what sound engineers do. In fact, when I was at university, the man from the BBC who taught us on our recording course, he said, you will never enjoy listening to a recording ever again after the end of this course, because you will be listening to it in completely a different way. And whilst that isn't quite true, there are times I'm thinking, they've cheated there. They've cut this bit and they put that bit there, because I can just hear that, just a slight pop or crack, and you can hear it. And if you want a course in listening to how to ruin your listening experience on recordings, then please see me afterwards. My point is I've been trained to listen. And it takes a lot of practice and it takes a lot of processing. Now, that's me listening to music. Let me tell you this. It does not make me a good listener to people. In fact, actually, sometimes it's detrimental to my listening to people, because actually when I'm in a restaurant and there's something groovy playing in the background, I'm having a romantic night out with Louise and we're chatting and I'm going, yep, I'm listening to that. And she's wanting to have some heart-to-heart conversation with me and tell me, you know, this, that, and the other. My mind is off somewhere else because I'm hearing the music. So that training has not served me so well sometimes. And I also find when I'm in group contexts like this, you know, Keith and Margaret might be talking about something which is interesting, and I'm talking to somebody else which isn't so interesting, and I'm kind of like, oh, they're having chicken pie for lunch. And I'm kind of tuning into this. Maybe this is part of my training as well, that I have sort of this peripheral hearing, and I can... Here, particularly when something's interesting to me, like chicken pie, I hear this and whatever Daniel's saying to me, which is, you know, something boring about, you know, admin or something, and I'm kind of like, chicken pie is where it's at, and he said it, and I've... Which is one of the reasons where I say, if anyone says anything to me on Sunday, on a Sunday, and you want me to take the information in, say it again in an email on a Monday, because I really don't listen very well on a Sunday, I'll be honest with you, because I've got my mind on other things, usually preaching or whatever. Just a little. There you go. Now, that said, when I first started this church, the previous minister and his wife bought me a T-shirt, and on the T-shirt, I thought I kept it, but it must have got thrown out. I had it for a long time. It said, "Your lips are moving, but all I hear is blah, blah, blah." It was kind of, I don't know if you've ever had that experience, you know, when you're talking, either you're talking, and you know that person, they're thinking about chicken pie. You know that because the look on their face says, "I'm looking at you, and I'm looking you right in the eye, but actually my mind is somewhere else, and all I'm hearing is blah, blah, blah." Yeah, have you ever had that experience? Okay. Alan Shari, have you? Yeah. And maybe you do that when you're listening. I mean, we all realize we're listening, we're all talking, we're all thinking about chicken pie at some point, and you're listening and you hear the words, or you hear the sounds are sort of flapping against your eardrum, because that's how sound works. It's sort of the vibrations of the air, they're kind of going ding, 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 ding on your eardrum, and you can hear this noise, and I have no idea what's being said at all. You know, it goes, we've heard that it's in one ear and out the other, yeah, that kind of thing, or maybe in one ear and bouncing out the same ear, just that kind of thing. We hear the words, but we don't hear any meaning, we don't hear any significance. I was actually just, you know, this not to make a light of this, but you know, we've been talking about Hossein in Turkey, who had his tongue chopped out for preaching the gospel. I mean, that's a pretty heavy thing. And I know when I said it here, everyone just went like this. I was just telling somebody the other day, and they're just going, "Oh yeah, all right." I'm thinking, "No, you didn't hear what I just said, did you? I just said a man had his tongue chopped out, and you just carried on with your dinner and didn't even flinch." I'm thinking, right, you didn't hear it. So we've all been there, and it can be on every level. Now, maybe we just have very bad hearing, physically. Maybe there's a lot of wax, or we just have, you know, problems with our hearing, and that can be a problem. So that's one thing. But I think more often than not, there are other reasons why we don't hear. My dad certainly has selective hearing. There used to be, my brother and I would joke about this, but there was one time my dad would struggle to hear things, apparently, until it was something. My brother had crashed the car. He came in, he snuck through the front door. My dad was in the bath. He snuck through the front door and said to Mum in a hushed tone, "You know, whatever happened with the car?" And Dad's like, the bathroom door flung open. Dad had heard it, you know, so he knew. And yet, if you ask him, you know, anything else, he just switched off. So maybe there's something going on there. But sometimes we're a bit over familiar with people, you know, and you think, "Oh, I know what this person," you know, maybe it's Reg and he will talk about political stuff and I'll just switch off then, you know, and maybe he's now a conservative and you don't even know about it because you've not been listening. Because we sometimes just presume that what someone's going to say is something because we think we know them. And we judge ahead and we sort of, or we look at, I know what's going to happen next. Maybe we're distracted, as I've said before. I think oftentimes our listening is poor because we jump in with our own conclusions, you know. So Shari might be telling me something about something or other and I go, "Oh yes, I know," and I then start talking over the top of her and actually knowing really nothing about what she's going to finish with, because she might have a curve at the end of the story, and I start to interrupt and, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah." And so we don't actually hear because we like to tell our side of the story, whatever that story is. So our hearing can be clouded and masked by all kinds of things, and often these things are inside us. There are inner issues inside us that cause us to stop hearing well. I'll give you one more story. This is another music story. Anyone heard of Herbie Hancock? I know Daniel has. Herbie Hancock. Yes, so, okay. I will tell you who he is. Have you heard of Miles Davis? Okay, good. He was a famous jazz trumpet player, a bit of a bully, but a master musician. Herbie Hancock, who became a jazz legend in his own right, still alive. He was his pianist for a while. And Herbie Hancock was struggling with his improvising through a period. And Miles Davis could tell this. And everybody, I've never heard Miles Davis speak on video, I don't think, but I've heard lots of people doing impressions of him, and it's all the same, and I'll try and imitate it, but forgive me. He leaned across to Herbie Hancock and said, "Don't play him, but I know." Yeah, exactly. And Herbie Hancock heard, don't play the butter notes. Right, so you hear this, and you're a little bit intimidated by the guy, so you don't want to ask what the butter notes are. You just think to yourself, okay, don't play the butter notes. So in his mind, he's thinking, right, don't play the butter notes. Butter notes, maybe they're the kind of the creamy, the nice sounding notes. So he takes out of his playing the third and the seventh in the chord, which are the two, if you hear it again, I'm going into music land now, but if you play the third or the seventh, they're the nice sounding notes. Takes that out of his playing, starts improvising using those notes, not using those notes, and everyone loves it. So he thinks, yeah, Miles Davis, good advice. Apparently Miles Davis had said, don't play the bottom notes, the left hand. Yeah? Now, because of Herbie Hancock's possible insecurity about not wanting to mess with Miles Davis and ask him what he meant, things went off in a completely different direction, which ended up all right for Herbie Hancock. He made his own style and he's got, you know, has a whole thing going on. But it's all three, he didn't hear it right because of his insecurity. So we're all like that, right? I'm like that. You know, I often switch off and, or intimidate to ask or whatever. But the thing is, listening is vital when it comes to following Jesus. And I'll tell you why. Because God's primary means of communication is through the Word. In the beginning, what happened? In the beginning, God said, let there be light. Now, I don't know if creation had much choice in the matter, but imagine if creation had decided not to be listening very well on the first day of creation. You know, imagine creation went, sorry? Did he say flight? Let there be flight. Okay. And suddenly things started flying rather than let there be light. You know? Can you imagine? So creation had to hear and respond. Like I say, I don't think necessarily creation had much choice. And as you understand God's words are active. And so when God says something, it's almost like he does something. So it was an active thing as he spoke. And he was doing something at the same time. But the problem with us as humans is we have a choice to listen or not. God in his wisdom has given us the choice whether to hear. We have the ability to hear or not. I mean, we can hear the words. God could say to us, let there be light. And you think, oh, I know how to do that. Oh, there's a switch over there. I'll turn it on. Or you could say to yourself, no, go and turn it on yourself. And God being God, he could, of course. But we have that choice in us, don't we, to respond to how God speaks to us. And there's an exhortation in Deuteronomy, and which is one of the key or sort of foundational prayers of Israel, which is, it starts, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So there's a call, there's a doctrinal statement there, the Lord is one, the Lord our God is one. But first, before that, listen to this, hear, O Israel. Why does it have to say that? Because we as people are really good at putting our fingers in our ears or wondering what Keith and Margaret are having for lunch or whatever it is that distracts us and we don't hear. We can hear the sound, but we have the choice to absorb the meaning and to hear the significance. So listening is a crucial thing to being a disciple of Jesus, to hear what he says, and to respond to that. But also, I think, as disciples, it's good to be listeners of other people around us. Because, I think they speak God's wisdom. I mean, just today, if when a sky stood up and we just kind of gone, oh, that's that girl. And we'd gone off and done our own thing, we would have missed something precious and valuable. So it's important that we learn to listen to one another, because otherwise we miss beautiful things that encourage us. Hearing is important. Let's read Mark chapter 4. We'll start at verse 1. It's quite long, this parable, so listen. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered round him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it. Out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables in his teaching, and in his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because there was no root. Other seed fell on the thorns, which grew up and choked plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like the seed sown in thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and its desires for other things, come and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." Now, Jesus starts this little teaching by saying, "Listen." I've done this to my children many times. "Listen to me." Now, why would you need to say that? Someone's speaking. In fact, this is Jesus speaking. In fact, all these people have come to hear him talk. So why would he have to say, "Listen," when they're there to hear it? It's a funny one, isn't it? But he says, "Listen," because this is important. But actually, isn't everything Jesus says important? Well, he's saying, "Listen, hear this. Not just the words, hear what is really being said." Later on, he says in verse 9, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Now, we all have ears. That's a bit of a funny one. I mean, maybe there are a few people, a very small minority, that might not have had ears, or maybe there are a few deaf people there, but he would have healed them first. Otherwise, what's the point of preaching and then they can't hear it? So, you know, surely he would have done that. But the majority of the people there, they would have had ears. But he's saying, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." So he's saying something else, isn't he? He's saying, you know, really, there's a different kind of hearing I'm calling you into here. Then later on he says in verse 24, "Consider carefully what you hear." Not in one ear and out the other, or not, "Oh, there's Jesus, blah, 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 blah. Good, he likes to talk, doesn't he?" That one. But listen. Consider it carefully. So the thing Jesus is stressing we should listen to, funny enough, is a parable about listening. That's a good one, isn't it? It's a conundrum in itself. "Listen," says Jesus, "because I've got a parable here about listening." Listen to the story about listening. And he says in verse 13, if you don't get this parable, which is about listening, if you can't hear this parable about listening, then you won't get any of the parables. Because if you don't understand that this is how you're supposed to listen, then you won't listen and you won't get anything. Hear what this parable has to say, so that you can hear what the other parables say. Listen, because this is how Jesus speaks. He speaks in parables. Now, fortunately, we, with hindsight, as we're blessed with, you know, we're maybe a bit like Herbie Hancock with Miles Davis, kind of thinking, "What does he mean by this? You know, don't play the butter note. What does he mean by that? Don't throw the seed. The seed. What's the seed? Where's this going? What's happening?" So the disciples, they're bold enough to actually ask Jesus. Maybe like Herbie Hancock should have asked Miles Davis and history would have been changed in the jazz history. But they did actually ask Jesus, "What do you mean by this? Can you explain this to us? Because, I mean, we heard the words, but we didn't quite get it." And so Jesus, he helpfully explains it to the disciples. He says, the seed is the word. And the ground is how the word is received. It's how the word is heard. And there are different types of listening, if you like. There are different types of ground, which is talking about a different kind of listening. There's the good soil in verse 20, which hears the word, hears it, accepts it. So there's kind of like in the ear, down into the, either the brain or the heart or both, and then it produces crop, because then it kind of does something to that person, and that person is changed or activated, or something happens in them because they've heard it. And I think as you see that process, that the good soul hears the word, accepts the word, and then produces a crop from the word, it takes time to hear. It takes time to listen well. There's another thing I learned from music. The difference between listening to a piece of music and looking at a piece of art is you can look at a picture that Monet's painted, took him hours to paint, and you can get it just like that. I mean, you wouldn't get everything right, but you look at the picture and you say, oh, well, it's water lily. You can't do that with a piece of music. Tchaikovsky writes this fourth symphony. If you want to know how it ends, you've got to listen for 40-something minutes to hear the big ta-da at the end. There's a whole kind of process to listening. So to listen well takes time. Now, obviously, to look well takes time as well, but you understand what I'm saying. You can get something quickly when you're looking, but when you're listening, you have to take some time. There's some time to hear it, there's some time to accept it, and there's some time for it to bear fruit in you. I mean, what I say now, or anything you might hear, and you think, well, I'm going to put that into practice, that could take the rest of your life. So that is a whole listening experience in itself. So listening, good listening takes time, it involves a process. And the words that we hear audibly need to move into our minds and into our hearts. We need to respond to them rationally, we need to respond to them emotionally. And then they will bear fruit. Now, I don't think that necessarily needs to take a long time, but it does need to take some time. So if we want to be good disciples, we need to develop an ear to hear what Jesus says. We need to develop the ability to ponder. Was it Mary? What did she do? She pondered, I can't remember the exact word, was it pondered or considered the things, what was said? Yeah. So she took time. I've had an angel speak to me. That's unusual. I'm not going to then just sort of move on to washing up and doing the dishes now. I'm going to have a little think about this. I'm going to just let it sink in. We need to learn to reflect on the things we hear, to contemplate the things we hear, to consider carefully, Jesus says. Take time to let it sink in. Let the penny drop. I don't know where Keith probably can tell me where the phrase penny drop comes from, but I think it now comes from the Tesco self-service till. I don't know if you've ever tried putting pennies in that thing, you know. We had a whole, in fact, it was when we did that charity collection for Cebu and the charity car wash. Rather than whoever, Chris or Anu, had to bank it, I just thought, I'll count it up, I'll write a cheque for £5, and then I've got this much change. So one day at Tesco's, I had to buy something, put it in. It takes ages to pay for stuff, you know, for the penny to drop in that machine if you've got more than 10p's worth of 2p's. Anyway, but it does take time for the penny to drop, doesn't it, sometimes? Like some of my jokes, which you still haven't got. Oh, that was good. You're getting better. Okay. The thing is, there are things set against us to hearing well or to listening well. We all know, for example, that God would speak to us something along these lines. As Christians, I hope we know that through the gospel, God speaks to us and says, like he said to Jesus at Jesus' baptism, but it speaks to all of us, you are my child, whom I dearly love. Yeah, I hope we know that's true. And if we don't, then I'm saying that to you now. That's a kind of a gospel statement, if you like. That we are in Christ, we are all children, and we are loved, and God is well pleased with us. Now, you can hear those words audibly, but how many of us have actually heard them? How many people often sort of, there's kind of evil or dark thoughts inside us, or even voices come to us and says, no, you're not good enough. You're not worthy. Are you a child of God? Have you seen what you're like after you come out of church? You know, have you seen what you're like with your family? Have you seen what you're like with your work? You're worthless. Don't kid yourself. You're a nobody. Why would God have anything to do with you? How many of us have heard those voices? We're pretty good at listening to those voices, actually, to be fair. We're good at listening on that regard. People are brilliant at listening to that stuff. But that is like the seeds that fell on the path and then are plucked away by the birds. We hear the word of the Lord, but then other things take and snatch those things away from us. Like Satan coming to take the things away from us. So I want to say, again, here, listen carefully. You are loved by God. You are God's children. Be like the good soil and hear those words and accept them. Let them drop in. Let the penny drop. Let it sink into you and let it do something in you. That you are God's children and He's well pleased with you. But then often, if we get beyond that, or if that isn't an issue, then there are other situations in our lives that, you know, all kinds of things happen and affect us. You know, maybe situations arise in our lives that cause us to think, well, if I'm a child of God, why is this happening? Surely children of God don't have to go through difficulty or suffering or, you know, hardship or debt or, you know, being made redundant or all these kind of things. I mean, this isn't the way that, you know, the royal family should get treated. So why should a child of God be like this? And so then we start, the distant voice becomes, well, the voice becomes distant that God spoke, oh yeah, I'm well pleased with you. You're my son. You're my child. But it's like, that's when the seeds fall on the rocky place, isn't it? And they don't have much root, and when hardship comes, they wither away. But we need to come back to what God says. You are my child. I love you. I'm really pleased with you. But then maybe something comes to distract us. Maybe it's work, it's family, or stuff, just stuff. Maybe it's people walking out the door. See, it's amazing what things distract us. You know? And we hear the sounds of other things more clearly. And they influence us, and our ears are saturated by the... I mean, isn't the world just full of noise at the moment? Yeah, we've got social media and the news, and then when you watch the news and you think, oh, goodness me, we're listening to Donald Trump and all that he's saying and everything else is going on here and all these agendas of the BBC that we don't like and all this stuff that's going on, and there's noise, and you even just go out. One thing I appreciated when we went to Belgium last week is actually it's quite peaceful. There's hardly any cars in those places. It's really nice. I went into this village where they had one of the war memorials, and I said, "Oh, it's really quiet here." She said, "Well, it would be. There's only 700 people live here." I said, "Okay, all right." And they've all gone. She said, "They've all gone to work. I'm the only person left in the village manning the visitor center." Was effectively what she was saying, you know. But we live, particularly where we are, live in a world where it's just so noisy, in all kinds of ways. And so we struggle to hear God because there's thorns and thistles and all kinds of things growing around us that are shouting all kinds of messages to us. But we need to come back and to listen to that still small voice sometimes and hear that word where God says, I love you. You're my child. I'm pleased with you. Listen, says Jesus. Listen. Hear what I'm saying. Because when you hear what I say, it will bear fruit in you. Listen. And really, actually, this kind of hearing is a gift. Really, to get the revelation of God is a gift from Him. And the 12, they were bold and they asked Jesus, can you explain this to us? And then He gave them the understanding. And the thing is, Jesus has got some great things to say, and He will make our lives better for it. But I think part of it is we just need to ask, God, can you give us the ears to hear? Give me the gift of listening, so that we can hear what you're saying, and we can really hear what you're saying, how it impacts us and how it speaks to us, so that we can be those who have ears to hear. So I'm just going to end now. I'm just going to have a moment of quiet. And let's just just still ourselves, whether it's just to listen to what I've said, or so maybe God is saying something else as well, or something completely different, but just to still ourselves and just allow the time for us just to hear. And when we hear, then have that time for the penny to drop. And then we maybe consider then how this can work in our lives. So let's just take a moment and we'll listen to that voice of God, and then I'll close with a prayer. Jesus, we admit that our listening isn't great sometimes, if not all the time. And so we come to you and want to take heed to the words you say to us, even if it's just take anything away from today, we just want to hear that word, which is listen. So teach us, Lord Jesus, to listen. Gift us with the ability to hear and see and know the revelation you are speaking to us. Let us be responsive to your word, which is active and living. Let us know that seed falling in us on good soil. Lord, forgive us for the many distractions and the many things that we allow ourselves to deafen ourselves from the world around us. But Lord, give us ears to hear. We don't just want to have ears and just hear sounds, but we want to hear as you have intended us to hear. Lord, we pray just keep us in this and help us with this, and let us learn to recognize your voice also, not only your voice through the word, but just in other ways and through other people, that we would learn to listen and listen more. We ask this in your name. We want to be your disciples. We want to follow you. We want to live life well, because we know life is best when we're with you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.